We're going to bounce around a little bit in Scripture this morning. You'll have it on the screen, but you might want to write Scriptures down, because I feel like joy is such an important part of the Christian's life. We need to have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? That's our strength. Paul asked one of the churches, he said, what's happened to all your joy? You started out so well. You started out so strong. What's happened to your joy? Well, the enemy, as the enemy does over time, can steal our joy if we allow that to happen. And the devil knows that the Lord's joy is our strength. So that's one of the first things that the enemy will go after in our lives, is to try to rob us of the joy of the Lord. Well, we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse number 8. Jenny and I in recent weeks have been kind of in the same mindset, in the same place, I guess, in the spirit or whatever, because a lot of what I've preached or she has written, we're just kind of piggybacking on each other's stuff, you know, and we haven't discussed it, we haven't got together. It's just been the Lord kind of confirming, this is what I want the people to hear, and I want this to minister to the people of New Life. And so this is one of the scriptures, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8, part of the Christmas story, obviously. And it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. King James says they were sore afraid. I mean, like really scared. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. I love that. God wants us to have news of great joy. And it says this is going to be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He's Christ. He's the Messiah, the one that the Jewish people have been waiting on for centuries. It's Him. The Christ in the Greek is what Messiah means, and then Messiah is the Hebrew for that. But both of them, the Greek and the Hebrew, both mean the Anointed One. The Anointed One, the one who was to come, the one who was prophesied to be born of a virgin. He is come. It's great news. He's been born this very night. Well, I want us to go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And we're going to go to chapter number 8. And we're going to look at just a couple of verses there. Verses 30 and 31. And it says this. Then I was the craftsman at his side. The I in that verse there, in the context here, is actually wisdom. It's wisdom. It's a chapter about wisdom. It's wisdom's call. And I believe it's also the Holy Spirit's call. And the one that was the craftsman at the side of God when he spoke was the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Genesis that the Spirit of God hovered above the face of the earth. The earth was dark and formless and void, and it was the Holy Spirit was over the waters. And when God spoke, let there be light. When God spoke, let there be land. And all of this came into being. He said, I was the craftsman at God's side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in His presence. That's the joy there. It's just rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. There is nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together like some people are doing, but gather together even more as you see the end time approaching, right? As you see the end coming, even gather more and more to encourage one another, to encourage one another, to rejoice with one another. And so he says, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Praise God. Let's go to Psalm 126 for just a moment. Psalm 126. We're going to pick up at verse number 3. This is an old scripture, obviously one that we'll be familiar with. But I want us to look at this in the context of joy, and in the context also of our personal evangelism around us. 126, beginning at verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. You know, if you would just begin to make a list, even in the midst of this year that's been so frustrating in so many ways, but if you would make a list of things that brought you joy this year that the Lord has done for you, the small God sightings, the bigger God sightings, and maybe some major God sightings in your life, how God has been faithful to you, to your family. God has just been there for you, walked you through maybe some difficult days this year. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Then he prays this, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev." The Negev is a desert, obviously, in Israel. And whenever there is a good rain, streams automatically appear in the desert, even rushing water sometimes, even in the desert. He said, so Lord, restore our fortunes like the streams that you bring in the Negev desert to us from time to time. And then he says in verse 5, those who sow in tears, those who, he says, will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Again, indicative of us as Christians, wherever we are out and about, just sowing the seed into people's lives, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy that Jesus can bring to our lives. And so we can share that with people along the way. And we return, he says, with songs of joy, and we return with the people that we've led to the Lord with us, carrying sheaves with us. Do you know the only thing you're going to take to heaven with you? It's the people that you've led to the Lord. That's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. You know, I don't care. There was a lady years ago in Texas that got buried in her Mercedes. But I tell you what, that Mercedes is not going to accompany her to heaven. It's going to be left right where it is. But if she knew the Lord, she's going to rise. But that Mercedes is going to stay buried. But you know, it's so important that we take people to heaven with us. The Bible talks about part of our reward is that we're going to be rewarded for souls that we've won. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. And so God wants us to bring sheaves with us into glory, into the glories of heaven. I had the privilege this year, I've shared with you, of leading an elderly gentleman that I've been a friend of his and he a friend of mine for probably 20, 25 years. And this past year, at the end of this street of Hempel Avenue, at the new Orlando Health Facility at the end of Hempel, I was able to lead him to the Lord earlier this year. And that man passed away over the summer. And I know that God has saved him. I know he's ready. I know he was ready for heaven. And so we just thank God for that. It's the sheaves, it's the souls that we take to heaven with us that will bring joy and delight, not only to us, but great joy in heaven. The Bible says the angels rejoice over the passing of those that know the Lord and those that enter heaven. There is a great reception in heaven for people like that. Praise God. And then let's go to Isaiah for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 51, and just one verse there. Verse number 11. I told you we're going to bounce around here, so let's really look at this. It says here in verse 11, the ransomed of the Lord will return. If you know Jesus as your Savior, it means you've been ransomed. You've been bought back and brought back to the Father. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. I have always loved that verse. It's like you got gladness and joy running up behind you and then overtaking you. You're just overwhelmed with this gladness and joy that the Lord brings. And then not only that, but sorrow and sighing are going to flee away. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy is going to be there. Joy is going to come. And everlasting joy, gladness and joy will literally overtake us as we walk with the Lord and serve him with our whole hearts. Let's go a little bit further. The book of Jeremiah. And we're going to go to chapter number 31. Jeremiah 31. And we're going to pick up at verse number 11. I love this. We just read in Isaiah about the ransomed of the Lord returning. Look at this verse. For the Lord will ransom, there's that word again, he will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they are. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. Guys, we think about Thanksgiving and we think about that horn of plenty, that abundance of harvest and food and blessing from God. That's kind of what he's talking about here. He says they're going to come with shouts of joy on the heights of Zion, and they're going to rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. Look at the bounty, the grain, the new wine, the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. And then look at this. They will be like a well-watered garden. I want you to just kind of picture that in your mind, that no matter what you're going through or what you've been through, or what may loom towards the end of the year or into next year, whatever the enemy, all the what-ifs that he may be throwing at your mind, think about your life. You're like a well-watered garden. Just the Lord just watering you with the Spirit, just pouring over you, just ministering to you, just encouraging you. You're like a well-watered garden. And he says, and because of that, you're going to sorrow no more. Sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. Young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. Some of us, Kathy lost her mom last year. Carol and Lois just lost their mom. Vicky just lost her mom. Some of you, you've already lost, obviously, loved ones, parents. Both of my parents are gone. But he says, he says, I'm going to turn that mourning into gladness. And then he says, I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. Several of these scriptures have mentioned that, turning sorrow to joy, all of that. I will satisfy even the priests, the leaders, with abundance. And my people, underline that word my people will be filled with the bounty, or with my bounty, declares the Lord. My people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. Again, Malachi says in the last days, God's going to make a distinction between those of us that know God and those of us that don't. And so it's going to be very evident that in the midst of crisis, in the midst of famine or pestilence or whatever, that there's going to be a distinction between those of us that serve God and those of us that don't. Daniel said the people that know their God in the last days are going to be strong and do exploits in his name. I want us to be those people. I want us to be those people. I want us to be strong in the Lord. And where does that strength come from? His joy. His joy. Praise God. My people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. I want us to go back to the book of Deuteronomy, way back in the Old Testament, chapter 16. And just one verse there, verse number 15. Verse number 15, it says this. It's all about celebration. This is about the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says, for 7 days, celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. I love that. That's a wonderful verse. For the Lord your God will, underline that word will, not might, not maybe, not could, if you get good enough or earn it or whatever. No, my people, he says, my people, he says, I will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. I want you to just kind of stay in Deuteronomy. We're going to go back there in just a moment. But I want to throw in, Alan, you don't have this one. I'm throwing this one in here this morning. It's in John 15. It's in John 15, and we're going to begin at verse number 9. You might want to write it down. John 15 and verse 9. And it says this, Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He's telling this to his disciples. And in turn this morning, he's saying it to us. It says in verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this so that my joy, boy, I love that, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We read that in Deuteronomy 16, that He wanted our joy to be complete. Now I want us to go back to Deuteronomy, and I want us to go to chapter number 27 this time. So a little bit further back into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 27, and just one verse. It's another feast, it's another celebration, it's another festival, and He says, sacrifice fellowship offerings, which are also called peace offerings. They're peace offerings. And it's something that you choose to do. It's not a required offering. It's one that you choose. Sacrifice fellowship or peace offerings there at that place that God chooses, eating them and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord your God. Once again, one of the things I've always loved about coming to God's house, even as a kid, my grandfather, my parents, taking me to church with them, it's just feeling the presence of the Lord, sensing His presence, knowing when it is and knowing when it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Knowing when there's a true anointing and then knowing if, well, not so much, you know? You can sense it. Your spirit will bear witness with other people's spirit, you know, that, yeah, this is it. So rejoicing in the presence of the Lord your God. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 21 and 22. Let's go there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And again, just two verses there, 21 and 22. Again, it's a sacrifice, it's a festival. And it says, the next day they made sacrifices to the Lord. And they presented burnt offerings to Him, bulls, rams, male lambs, together with their drink offerings, and other sacrifices in abundance for all of Israel, for the whole nation. It was a national thing that was going on. They ate and drank with what? Great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Guys, I'm just wanting to stress to us that when we gather together, it should be a joyful celebration, you know, because of the presence of the Lord. Yes, we may have gone through some difficulties. We will go through difficulties in the future. The Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus said that. You know, that's not a super faith statement, but Jesus said that. So we know that there's going to come times of difficulty and struggle. Paul said, through much tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the great tribulation, but we're talking about troubles and trials and tribulations that we go through. He says, they're going to come, but we're going to make it over. We're going to do it. We're going to be okay. We ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Psalm 16:11 in the New Living Testament says this, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. This is where I got the title of the message. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence, the joy of your presence, and the pleasures of living with you forever. The Bible says that His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen? Pleasures forevermore. You know, and again, we talked about the last couple of times about hope here and now. David said it. I'm still confident of this, that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just in heaven, but right here and right now. Another version, that same verse, says it this way. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And as I just quoted, at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I love that. In the presence of the Lord, there is absolutely fullness of joy. Then Alan Redpath adds this. He says, there is nothing more important in any life than the constantly enjoyed presence of the Lord. I'll say that again. There is nothing more important in any life than the constantly enjoyed presence of the Lord. And I think of Paul when I say that. And I think of the book of Philippians that I talk about so much. And we're going to be going into that in the new year, because we're going to be talking about transformation, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're going to be talking about the mind, talking about our thinking, talking about changing that. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So important. The enemy this year has tried to steal our joy. He's tried to instill fear in us, you know, and all those negative emotions. The enemy has tried to put doubts and all the what-ifs of our imaginations in our minds. And we're going to go back and go over that again as well. And so we have to enjoy, we should enjoy the constantly presence of the Lord that's always there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. Psalm chapter 21, just briefly there. Psalm chapter 21, and let's look at verse number 6. It says this, surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. There's that phrase again, the title of the message. Surely, no doubt about it, you have granted him eternal blessings and you've made him glad with the joy of your presence. Sometimes, maybe, we allow ourselves to become so busy that we don't make time to get alone with the Lord. But when we quiet ourselves, and it's a choice to do that, you got to make up your mind to do it. When we quiet ourselves long enough to acknowledge his presence, God will touch our hearts and he'll restore our souls. My soul finds rest in God alone. We've got to get alone with God. We've got to spend time in his presence, and we've got to just allow him to bring that joy and gladness back, the peace of God that passes all understanding back. All of these things we need in these troubled times. Sometimes the cares, the pressures, the stresses of life can weigh us down and even distract us from the fact that we're always in his presence. I think we forget that sometimes, don't we? We just don't dwell on it enough that God is always with us, that he's never away from us. His ears are attentive to our cry. His eyes are upon us. His hand is reaching out to us to minister to us. We need to always constantly remember these things. And in Psalm 94, just one verse there, Psalm 94, verse number 19, and it says this, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. I love this verse. Another version says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. Your comforts, the Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit, will bring delight to your soul. Some of you this morning, maybe you need that delight. Oh, just a delight in his presence. You need your souls to be delighted again with just the presence of the Lord, just the goodness of God, the blessings of God. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. Oh, praise God. Praise God. The Daily Walk writes this, joy comes not as the result of external conditions, but from internal confidence that God is in control. That is a powerful statement. Joy comes not as the result of external conditions, but from internal confidence that our God is in control. I don't care how bad this year has been in your mind or your thoughts or in your life, what the enemy has tried to do or tell you or whatever, but if we could just have the confidence inside of us that our God, in the midst of all this stuff, our God is still in control, This did not catch him by surprise, you know. For what reasons he's allowed it, we may not fully understand, but I tell you what, God is in control of everything that happens on this planet. God is in control of your life and my life and the lives of our loved ones, our kids, our grandkids, our in-laws, whoever, friends, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students. God is in control. Our lives, our times are in His hands, the Bible says. Amen? And there's no safer place for us to be than in the hands of Almighty God. E. Stanley Jones writes this, "When we get rid of inner conflicts and wrong attitudes toward life, we will almost automatically burst into joy." I love that phrase, burst into joy. When we get rid of our inner conflicts, our worries, our stressors, our fears, our whatever, and even the wrong attitudes. We may have a bad attitude. I know you don't, but maybe, you know, once in a while I do, you know. But, you know, if we could just get rid of our bad attitudes, he says, you know, those things towards life, bad attitudes towards life, then we will almost automatically burst into joy if we could just get control of those things. Henry Nouwen adds this. He says, to choose joy. I like that word choose because you have to choose joy. You can choose sadness. You can choose gladness. You can choose joy. You can choose whatever emotion you want to stay in and live in. You can choose it. He says to choose joy means the determination to let whatever takes place bring us one step closer to the God of life. Wow. It will take us one step closer to the God of life, this God who gives us life. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly and that you might what? Enjoy it to the full." God has provided all things richly for what? Our enjoyment. God wants me and you to enjoy life. God, help us to do it. Help us to do it, to choose life, to choose joy. And then joy is not simply a smile on the surface, but it's peace in the heart as a result of a mind continually focused on Christ. We've got to make up our minds that we're going to focus on the Lord and what He has to say about us. So I want us to look at this. Great verse, you know it, Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26, two verses there, 3 and 4. And it says this, "You will keep," underline that word keep, "you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Man, that's so good. We've got to keep our minds steadfast, focused on the Lord. And if we do that, he'll keep us in his perfect peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that will keep our hearts and our minds safe in Christ. So we must remember that Jesus promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And also he said that his joy is our strength. Philippians 4:4, New Living Testament, encourages us to always be full of the joy of the Lord. Always be full of the joy of the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Then Jesus made it clear that he intends for his joy to become our joy. Now that's a major thing. He wants his joy to become our joy, just like he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He wants us to have his peace, but he also wants us to have his joy. And we find this in John 15:11 from the Message by Eugene Peterson. And it says this, "I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature." What a great verse. "I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy," the joy of Jesus, "might be your joy and my joy, and that our joy would be wholly, completely mature." He wants our joy to be mature. I never thought about it in that sense before, that we could have an immature joy. That would be just a piece of joy. But he wants the joy to bear fruit. He wants it to become mature and us develop that fruit of joy in our lives. Billy Graham once said, When Jesus is the source of our joy, no words can describe it. When Jesus is the source of our joy, there just aren't words to describe it. Daily Devotions for Men says this, Oswald Chambers correctly observed, joy is the great note all throughout the Bible. God wants his people filled with joy because, again, his joy is our strength. C.S. Lewis echoed that thought when he wrote, joy is the serious business of heaven. Isn't that awesome? Joy is the serious business of heaven. That's a great thought. But even the most dedicated Christians can, on occasion, forget to celebrate each day for what it is. And you know what each day is? It's a priceless gift from God. It's a brand new day. It's another day that we're above ground. It's another day that we woke up. You know, we're alive. And again, like we said the last couple of weeks, as long as there's life and breath in someone, there's hope. And there's joy and there's peace if we allow God to do that. Every day, every new day is a priceless gift from God. So today, let us be joyful Christians with smiles on our faces and kind words on our lips, just what I spoke about earlier. We should have a kind word for every person that we meet. They need it. They need it. And as we give it to them, it blesses us. It blesses the receiver, but it blesses us as the giver. So each and every day, smiles on our faces, kind words on our lips, because after all, this is God's day, and he's given us clear instructions for the use of each and every day. We are commanded to rejoice and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, it's a choice. So, with no further ado, let's let that celebration begin as we prepare to leave this place in just a moment. I want to close with two verses, very, very short verses, and this is going to be from that little tiny book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. And this is the very end. It's the doxology. It's the closing two verses of the chapter. It's a brief chapter, only one. And it says this, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So be it. And of course, the part that we cling to as humans is to him, to Jesus, who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glorious presence without fault. Isn't that amazing? That no matter what we've done in our lives, no matter the sins that we've committed, if we've asked his forgiveness and his cleansing, they're wiped out. And so in God's eyes, we're faultless. That's such a powerful thing. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But it's not only that. We not only stand there without fault in God's eyes, but obviously we're there with great joy. He's going to present us with great joy. What a great, great day when we stand before the Father of all of us in heaven, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord.